Take your Bibles and turn to Hosea chapter 14 this morning. We'd do well if we took the words of that song and made that a prayer each morning. That's good. Hosea chapter 14 this morning. And we'll take this time to look into God's Word. Might take a little bit extra long time to find this book in the Old Testament there. Hosea chapter 14. And this will be our starting point here this morning, and then we're going to look at a few other passages of Scripture and pull out some important principles that we see in the Bible here this morning. Draw from some other passages here this morning as we go, but we're going to start here in Hosea chapter 14, and in a way, this kind of sets the stage. It sets the paints a picture for us this morning, what we're going to be dealing with. And I trust will be a help and a challenge as we begin a new year. And really a great help for us as believers to move forward in our walk with God. Hosea chapter 14, and look at verse 1 is where we will begin. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God. For thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. The title of my message this morning is Come, Let Us Return Unto the Lord. Come, let us return unto the Lord. And it's a plea for the people of God to return unto the Lord their God this morning is my desire. And truly, this is the need of the hour. If we were to take a look at the state of the churches of our land, of God's churches throughout this land, we would see that they're in a dismal state. They're bleak. They're powerless, lured away by the cares and things of this world. And there is a great need for God's people to return unto the Lord. There is an invitation for each believer this morning. Come. And what we need to do is return unto the Lord. Many here are familiar with the Bible, have read a lot of the Bible, and we see a clear pattern in Scripture, all throughout the Scripture, of this pattern of God calling His people back to Himself. This is a pattern that we see frequently, especially in dealing with the nation of Israel. If we were to read Hosea and other books of the prophets, in the Old Testament, we see them calling the nation of Israel back to God, to return unto the Lord. And that's a great principle that we see throughout the whole Bible, into the New Testament as well. God calling His people back to Himself. And this is one truth that every believer needs to understand. Because it's something that each of us are going to face. There will come times in our life where we say no to God, where we go our own way, and we need to get right with God. There's times where we allow sin into our life, and what are we going to do? How are we going to get back on track? How are we going to get right with God? And we need to understand this principle. I think of new believers. What an important truth this is. Because, you know, it's not a matter if we stray from the Lord. It's when we say no to Him. When we allow sin into our life. And we need to understand and we need to know how we can get back on track. How we can get right with God. How we can return to the Lord. And here this morning, I want us to notice some important steps in us returning to the Lord. Some important steps in us returning unto the Lord. And you know what? I think God can use this message in each heart here today. Each of us can be drawn closer to the Lord. Maybe there's someone here that's in deep spiritual needs in their life. Well, you know what? Take heed to these steps that we see in the Word of God and how we can get back into a right relationship with God. How we can return to the Lord. So some steps here in returning unto the Lord. First of all, we need to accept the invitation. Accept the invitation to return unto the Lord. Now here specifically in Hosea, we're dealing, the prophet is speaking to the nation of Israel. But you know what? We see this principle throughout the whole Bible and in the New Testament, and God calling His people back to Himself. And there's an invitation for us. And you know, if we're going to begin, if we're going to return to the Lord, to that place that we need to be, we need to accept the invitation God offers to us. Now, all of us can relate with this, because I'm sure all of us have gotten an invitation in the mail before for a wedding. And they expect you to fill that out and mail it back to them. And I'm sure all of us have had those times where we threw it under some paper and the wedding already happened, and then we came across that thing and didn't even get to mail it in. Well, so we understand this idea of invitations. For me, a new invitation that I'm hearing in life is, honey, do you want to go change the diaper? You know, that's a new invitation I've never had to deal with in a before. But that's an invitation, and usually I want to respond one way, but try to help my wife out and try to help her do that. So I have changed diapers before. So I think there's some dads that have never done that. And they usually happen when you don't want them to happen. But anyways, so these, we have to accept the invitation to return unto the Lord. This morning, would you hear the Spirit of God calling you back to Him? Maybe you've strayed. Maybe your walk with God has been suffering. You've allowed discouragement or trials or bitterness or anger to creep into your life, or situations in life that have, in a sense, dampened your relationship with God. And the invitation is this morning for you to return unto the Lord. We have to do something about it. That invitation we get in the mail is no good if we don't ever open it, or if we don't ever look at it, or don't ever reply. We have to accept this invitation. And you know what? It's always God's heart for His people to come back to Him. In Psalms chapter 86 and verse 15, the Bible says, "But Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth." Aren't you thankful this morning that God's invitation is, He still desires for us to walk with Him? You know, shouldn't God have given up on us a long time ago? When we failed Him, when we went our own way, when we said no to God? But yet God's invitation is still open. And here this morning, there's not one person here that is out of the reach of this invitation. God's calling you back to Himself. There's nothing so great that can come into your life that could separate that God's desire for to have a relationship with you. His invitation is open. I just love that phrase. He's plenteous in mercy. You know, we can fail God time and time again, but His mercy is still there. Plenteous in mercy. Okay, so whatever the need is, His mercy is far greater than that. It's plenty. It covers it. So we need to accept the invitation. What is involved in accepting God's invitation? Let's look at a couple things here. First of all, you have to acknowledge your need. You have to acknowledge your need. If God's invitation to come is offered to you, well, it doesn't mean anything unless you see, wow, I need to get back to the Lord. We have to acknowledge our need. Right there in Hosea chapter 14, in verse 1, it says, "O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God." Why? "For thou hast fallen by thine iniquity." Sin separates us from God. That is a proper word there to be used. "For thou hast fallen by thine iniquity." Isn't that what happened in the garden when Adam and Eve sinned? They fell. Their relationship because of God, because of sin, was severed with God. And "for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity." And Israel had a great need. They sinned. They went after other gods. They turned from God and didn't listen to the prophets. And they had fallen by their iniquity. So they had a great need here. And the invitation that God offers to us here today, we have to acknowledge our need. We have to acknowledge our need. In Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12, it's just a page over there. Look, you can look at that. It says, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. Here, an earnest plea to turn back to God. Deal with whatever it is that's hindering your walk with God. Acknowledge that there's a need in your life. You know what? Sometimes it's hard for us to do that, to admit that. To say, yeah, Lord, there is a need here. I have been turning from You. We have to acknowledge our need. In Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 22, the Bible says, "Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings." They would turn from God. They were backsliding. There was a need in their life. There was a need to turn back to God, to accept His invitation. Maybe this morning you have strayed from God. Maybe you have gone your own way. And maybe you come to church, you look good, you can deceive somebody, but inside you know, I've strayed from the Lord. Well, today you can acknowledge your need and accept God's invitation to return unto Him. Let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 1. And here again we have the picture of Israel turning from the Lord and the need that they had to get back to the Lord. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 4 it says, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward." Well, listen to the description there of the nation of Israel. There was a need there for them to turn back to the Lord. Maybe as we look into this new year, you can say, this is time. It's time for me to turn back to God. I've been going too long. I've been suffering too long. My spiritual life has been barren. I'm tired of this sin that I've been giving into. And we need to acknowledge our need here this morning. Are you willing to? If there's something in your life and you know that it's hindering your walk, are you willing to acknowledge that this morning? Because that is really the first step to us accepting God's invitation, is acknowledging our need. Next thing we need to do is make the choice to turn. It's one thing to recognize the need, but it's another thing to do something about it. Just like when a person trusts Jesus Christ to be their personal Savior. It's one thing to know and understand everything, to know they're a sinner, to agree with that fact, or to understand they're a sinner, they deserve hell, that Jesus Christ can save them. But it's a whole nother step to act upon it, to make a choice about that, the truth. And you know, for a person to be saved, they can't just understand it here. They have to make a conscious decision to do something about it, to trust Jesus Christ, to turn to Him. And in the same is true here. We have to make the choice to turn. There in Hosea chapter 14, it says, "O Israel, return." The very word "return" gives the idea that they're somewhere, they have departed from where they were at one point. And the prophet says, "Return unto the Lord." Go back to Him. And we have to make the choice to turn. God's invitation to return unto Him involves a choice you and I have to make. You know, it's hard sometimes, but we have to decide, okay, this is it. I've had enough with this. I'm turning back to God. And an invitation is no good until we act upon it. I wonder this morning, is there a need? And are you willing to make a choice to turn back to God? Kind of just as a little side note here, as we think about God and Him calling His people back to Himself, the fact that God gives you and me the opportunity to return unto Him reveals a lot about the character and nature of God, doesn't it? It shows that He's merciful. We looked at this a little bit. But God, He's willing to forgive. I mentioned this earlier, but well, God doesn't have to. But He has chosen to forgive us, to be merciful. He doesn't destroy us immediately when we sin against Him. He gives us another opportunity. And today may be that next opportunity that God is giving you to turn back to Him. Let's turn over to 2 Chronicles chapter 30. Second 2 Chronicles chapter 30, and we're going to look at verse 9. Second Chronicles 30, verse 9, it says, "For if you turn again unto the Lord, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again into this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away His face from you if ye return unto Him." What a comfort that is to us here this morning as wayward sinners that often go our own way. God is willing for us to come back to Him in His mercy. Isaiah 55:7, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." So we see in this truth here, God's mercy. We see that God is a loving God. It's only His love that would give us another chance, that would give us the opportunity to turn back to Him. It's the long-suffering of God. I read this verse already in Psalm 86, verse 15. "But Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth." So that's who our God is. And these truths about Him reveal this to us here today, and ought to be something that we take comfort in. We also see that God is holy. You see, God calls us to meet Him on His terms, on His ground. You know, we can't just say, okay, I'm going to try to get back into a right relationship with God, but still hold on to something that we know isn't pleasing to God. That's not truly returning to the Lord. God is holy, and we see this truth portrayed here, and even this truth that He's calling us to return unto Him. He's holy. He's set apart, and He calls us to be set apart with Him. And we can't be in a right relationship with God if we're not set apart, if we're not holy. And God is a holy God. And we see that truth here displayed. So the first step we have to take in returning unto the Lord is accepting the invitation. I wonder if you're willing to do that here this morning, to accept the invitation. God, I know this area in my life isn't right. God, I know I haven't been honoring the authorities in my life. God, I know I haven't been putting You first place in my life. God, I know I haven't been in the Word of God like I ought, seeking You. And today we need to understand our need and accept the invitation to turn back to the Lord. As we continue these steps to return to the Lord, secondly, we must prepare the way. We have to accept the invitation, but secondly, we have to prepare the way back to the Lord. The first thing we have to do in preparing the way is remove the hindrances. Remove the hindrances. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. What's the hindrance in your life that needs to be cleared, that needs to be removed so that you can get back to the Lord? Well, Isaiah chapter 40, here in this passage we have verses 3 through 5, really a foretelling of the work of John the Baptist, preparing the way of the Lord. And I think there's some principles that we can see here that are applicable for us here today. Because if we are going to be in a right relationship with God, if we are going to walk with Him, have a return unto the Lord, we have to, in a sense, do what the Prophet Isaiah said John the Baptist was going to do. In verse 3, it says, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." So he's speaking here of John the Baptist. But what was he preaching to prepare the way of the Lord? It says, "Every valley shall be exalted." In a sense, that's the idea that the humble will be exalted. The proud, the person lifted up in arrogancy and pride, has to be made low. The crooked has to be made straight. The rough places plain. You see, pride is a hindrance to us having a relationship with God. You know, for a person to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, they have to humble themselves, don't they? They have to say, God, I'm a sinner. I've broken your law. I've offended a holy God. And they have to humble themselves. Well, as believers, to be in that right relationship with God, pride has to be gone in our lives. We have to remove pride out of our life. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. That person lifted up in pride, arrogancy. You know, you're not going to return to the Lord with that in your life. In Daniel chapter 4, verse 37, Bible says, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment. And those that walk in pride, he is able to abase." Those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Maybe the hindrance this morning that you need to remove to prepare the way for the Lord, back to the Lord, is the area of pride. Maybe there's something that you've been confronted with through the Word of God or through the preaching of God's Word, and you're saying, Lord, I'm not going to deal with that. I'm not going to let that. I'm not going to let somebody else tell me what to do. I'm not going to listen. That's an area of pride. Maybe there's a person here that's been resisting, maybe what pastor's trying to direct our church forward in. You know, that's pride. And God, that's a hindrance to us being in a right relationship with God. In James chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible says, God resisteth the proud. Do you want to be resisted this morning? Do you want to, in a sense, be stiff-armed by God? That's what it is when we have pride in our life. God resisting us. Don't expect to go forward. Don't expect to experience the blessing of God in your life if you're saying no, if you're being lifted up in pride. We have to remove the hindrance of pride. Another thing is the sin. Pride obviously is sin, but or in a general sense, whatever it is in our life, the crooked things need to be made straight. Where we've sinned against another person, we need to go back and deal with it. Where we have wronged a family member, where we have wronged a customer, we need to deal with it. We need to make the crooked thing straight. There in Hosea chapter 14, let's turn back over there to Hosea chapter 14. The sin of the nation of Israel had to be dealt with for them to come back to the Lord. And it says, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast taken fallen by thine iniquity. Verse 2, take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. There they were dealing with the needs, dealing with the issues that had separated them from God. And they were going to the Lord. They were praying and asking him to take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. And there their lips would offer praise and worship as a sacrifice to God. The nation of Israel dealt with sin. So another hindrance that we have to remove is sin. In Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 1, it says, if thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me. And if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. There's hindrances that keep us from a right relationship with God. And if it's an area of sin in your life here today, we need to deal with it. You need to deal with it. You need to get rid of it. You need to do whatever it takes to make the crooked straight. There in Isaiah 40, we also see the phrase, the rough places plain. Maybe we could say it this way, smooth the rough edges. You know, there's things in our life that maybe aren't wrong, but they could keep us from having a right relationship with God. They could hinder our effectiveness or things in our life that could hinder our relationship with God. Maybe it's an annoying mannerism, things you do or negative comments that you throw out. I remember hearing of a pastor that even from the pulpit and just all the time was making just kind of negative remarks about his congregation. And there's somebody, a preacher, that confronted him about that, because he asked if there was anything in his life that he saw. And he confronted him about that. And you know what? He didn't realize it. But he began to work on that. And there can be little things, rough edges in our lives that can, in a sense, hinder our relationship with God. And things that we need to deal with to get us back to a relationship with God. And maybe it's things that we say. Maybe it's just, you know, the way we react in certain situations that can hinder our relationship with God. Let's turn over to 1 John chapter 1. And a familiar passage, but very fitting for this context here. Because if we are going to have a right relationship with God, we need to follow the biblical pattern to removing these hindrances. And in this passage, we see the phrase that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. So we can't expect to have a right, full relationship with God if we're walking in an area of darkness. If there's something in our life that's not right with God, or pleasing to the Lord. Verse 5, it says, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." I wonder if there's someone here tonight that says that they have fellowship, this morning, that says they have fellowship with God and are walking in darkness. Well, the Bible says we're lying and we're doing not the truth. You know, we can deceive others, but you know, we can't fool God. We could make somebody else think, oh, that person, really, they're really walking with God. But between us and the Lord, we know. We know if there's an area in our life that's not pleasing to the Lord. And God is light. There's no darkness, no imperfections in Him. And if we're going to be on the same, in a relationship with God that's pleasing to Him, then we have to come to Him on His terms. This really is the key to fellowship with God, is dealing with the hindrances in your life. And I wonder what it is here this morning that's a hindrance in your life, an area of pride, an area of sin, maybe an area of rebellion against God, rebellion against an authority. You know, those are hindrances to your walk with God. So first of all, we have, in preparing the way back to the Lord, we have to remove the hindrances. Secondly, we have to fully seek after God. Fully seek after God. Let's turn over to Jeremiah chapter 24 and verse 7. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 24. Jeremiah chapter 24 in verse 7 says, "And I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart." If we're going to prepare the way back to God, we have to fully seek after the Lord. Half-heartedness has no place in the Christian's walk with God. If we're just half-hearted about it, if we just deal with things halfway, we're never going to be in the right relationship with God. We have to fully seek after God. We have to fully return unto the Lord with our whole heart. In Jeremiah 29, verse 13, just a few pages over there, a great verse, it says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Let me ask you, right now, are you seeking God with all your heart? Are we seeking Him with all our heart? This morning, when you came to church, was there a desire to meet with God? Was there a desire to grow in your relationship with Him? Or did you just kind of think, oh, we got to do this again. Oh, we got to go to church again. If I don't go, I'm going to look really bad. Or did we come fully seeking after the Lord? What would it be like if every person came to church saying, "God, would you speak to my heart this morning? Would you show me a truth from God's Word?" What if every day we woke up and we said, "God, I need to get something out of the Word of God." And we fully sought after the Lord. with our whole heart. The promise there, and we're going to look at that a little bit more, is that He will be found. What a joyous thing it is when we're seeking after the Lord and we find Him and our relationship and walk with God is vibrant. That's a wonderful thing. And I bet you we can all relate to a time in our life where our walk with God was what it ought to be. And maybe today it's not. It's something has separated you from God. Isaiah chapter 29 verse 13 says, "For as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me." You know, the outward doesn't always fully demonstrate what's going on inside. And God doesn't want us just on the outside to look like we're seeking after Him, to look like we're trying to do what's right. The outside's very important. But God is concerned about the heart. And the heart truly affects the outside. But God is concerned about the heart. Not merely outward, but from the heart. You know, it doesn't work to be one thing at church and another thing at home or at work. No, God wants us to be consistent. He wants us to be seeking after Him at all times. We have to fully seek after God, not half-heartedly. I wonder, we can maybe relate with this in a way for us as adults that aren't in school maybe anymore, or and young people that are in school. Maybe we got an assignment and we thought, I don't want to do that. And we just kind of do what we have to do to get by, and we don't really give our best. We don't really throw ourselves into that project, and we just kind of do it half-hearted. And you know, we do the project, we do the work, and we don't really learn anything from it. And, you know, it's in a way, it's the same here. When seeking after God, if it's just kind of like, oh, maybe I'll read my Bible tomorrow. Oh, I don't want to do it this morning. Well, our life isn't going to amount to much. It's not going to accomplish much. And if we're going to seek after the Lord, if we're going to return to the Lord here today, we need to fully seek after Him. Once we have prepared the way to return unto the Lord, then we can, thirdly, receive the blessing of the Lord. So we have to accept the invitation, then we have to prepare the way of the Lord, back to the Lord by removing hindrances and fully seeking after God. And as we do that, we can receive the blessing of the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 13. "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all your heart." What's the promise here? If we seek God, He will be found. That's what we need as a church here in this new year, is for every single person here, for every member, for every person to seek after God. To in a fresh way say, "God, I need to know You. God, in this new year, I don't want to live a half-hearted Christian life. God, I'm going to fully seek after You. I want to know You." And as we seek after Him, what's the promise? That He will be found. We are familiar with the verse in James chapter 4, verse 8. "Draw nigh to God." And what's the promise? He will draw nigh to you. Friend, today you can start seeking after God and He will be found. Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Whether you're old in the faith or a new Christian, we need to have this heart's desire to seek after God, to know Him, to find Him. Boy, it's when we are seeking after God, when we are walking in a relationship with God, it changes our perspective on life. It gives us a purpose for life. The world, they're hoping the lake freezes over so they can go ice fishing. There's somebody I heard today that I know that unsaved, and they're planning to go out and do some ice fishing. They're wanting to get out on the lake. They're trying to find something to satisfy their life. They're trying to find a purpose in life. And when we seek God and when we find Him, we find a purpose for life. And I wonder here today if people have lost their purpose for their life, the value of their life, because they have stopped seeking after God. And their relationship has become stagnant. And they aren't fully seeking after God, and as a result, their purpose, their desire and for serving God and the purpose for their life has been lost. I think of this focus on soul winning that pastor's been emphasizing. Well, when we are seeking after God, soul winning becomes a priority in our life. It becomes a purpose for our life. When we seek after God and we seek after Him and find Him, there's a fulfillment in life that we find by walking with the Lord. What we see in 1 John chapter 1 about walking in the light, that comes as we seek after God and we find Him. Then we can walk in the light. We can have fellowship with God and Him with us. So receiving the blessing of the Lord, we find, the first thing is we find God. Ye shall seek me and find me. Are you seeking for something? Maybe you're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll never find anything to fully satisfy until you find the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other thing in life that can satisfy the desires of our life like the Lord Jesus Christ. And I love hearing the testimonies of people that have been saved and hearing the things that they were seeking to satisfy their life. And when they found the Lord Jesus Christ, all their needs were met. Everything that they longed for was met in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing. And for us as Christians, let's not turn from seeking God to finding our satisfaction in something else. There's a lot of decisions that we as God's people have to make to stay on track, to keep walking in the light. Now, there's decisions to say no to sin, to other things, so that we can maintain our walk with God. You know, have you been seeking after God? And if so, have you found Him? That's a promise that we will. We can find Him and we can know God. That's one of the blessings. We can know God. Think about it. That's the reason God created man. For us to have a relationship with God. And what breaks that fellowship? Sin. And God desires for us as His people to have that relationship, that fellowship with God restored. And of course, as a believer, it's eternally settled. But if we allow sin into our life, it hurts our relationship with God. Turn over to Philippians chapter 3. I think this is an interesting passage that ties in here with the Apostle Paul. What was his desire? He wanted to know God. He wanted to know Him. He wanted, as we see here, to find God and to know Him in a real way. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, it says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord." He counted all things but loss so that he could know God. So that he could have that relationship with God that God desires to have with man. I wonder this morning, are you willing to count all things but loss? Put everything else to the side so that you can know God. We can get so entangled with things of this life that consume our life. And they steal our heart and our desire to know God. And Paul's desire was to know Him. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him. That was Paul's desire, to know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death. Knowledge of God. This is a knowledge that affects our life. Knowledge that transforms us. It's a knowledge of God, and in return, we want to please God. You know, when we truly are in a walk with God and desiring to know Him, it affects how we live. And we want to please God. Have you thought about that this week, this past week? Is my life pleasing God? Is what I'm doing pleasing Him? Is how I'm handling certain situations pleasing God? Is how I am treating this person at work or treating a family member, is that pleasing to God? Well, if we're going to have a knowledge of God, if we're going to know Him, it ought to affect our life. It ought to transform us and affect how we live. That knowledge will instill within us a desire to be a witness. It'll give us a desire to have a life empowered by God. A life that counts all things but loss for Christ's sake. Do you have that kind of knowledge of God here today? You know, God doesn't just want us to come to church and learn more about Him and then forget about it the rest of the week. God intends for our walk, our relationship, to be moment by moment, all throughout the week, whatever the circumstances are, whether it's a trial or the blessing of God. He wants us to have a relationship with Him. He wants us to be have an experiential knowledge and experience of who God is in our life. Do you know God? Has it been a while since you've heard His voice? You know, if there's little things in our life that we're trying to fudge on the rules or fudge on, you know, we know that's not quite right. We know that's not what Pastor Roberts wants. That's not what God wants. And we try to manipulate it, try to change the circumstances. You know what? It's going to be really hard for us to have a close walk with God. It shows that we're more concerned about ourselves, more concerned about what's about me, what's important for me. And you know what? God, we need to see here today that our walk with God is the most important thing. That our relationship with Him is so critical and so vital. So the promise is certain that if we seek Him, He will be found. You know, there's not a lot of things that you can count on today. You can't count on the stock market. You can't count on a lot of investment things, for sure. You can't count on the media or our politicians in many ways. But the promises of God ought to be a foundation for our life. They ought to be something that we find comfort in and strength in. And when God says that if ye seek me, ye shall find me, that ought to be something we rest our faith in. And today, God promises that if we seek Him, He will be found. As a church, let us return unto the Lord. Let us turn back to God. You know, maybe there's an area in our life. Let's deal with it and seek after God. Turn back to God in that area. We need to return unto the Lord. Is there a need this morning in your life to return to the Lord? There could be somebody here, no doubt, that's walking with God. And that's great. But I wonder about you here this morning. What about your relationship? What about your walk with God? Is it what it ought to be? Have we strayed from God, and do we today need to return to the Lord? I would say that if we truly look at what the New Testament church ought to be and what God desires, intends for it to be, and what the a spirit-filled believer ought to be like, I would say that for the most of us, we are coming far short than what God truly intends for us. And that ought to concern us. That ought to stir us in our hearts. Say, Lord, I don't want to be that kind of a Christian. I don't want to be a lukewarm Christian. I don't want to be one that sits on the sideline. God, I want my life to count. I want it to amount to something. I want to accomplish something that has eternal value. And it ought to cause us to return to the Lord and continue to seek after Him and continually seek after Him and allowing our life to be that vibrant Christian that we ought to be. Is there a need in your life to return to the Lord today? You know, that relationship that God intends to have with you, that He created us for, is that happening? Is that taking place in our life? Well, if not, we need to turn to the Lord. We need to turn back to Him. You know, our life is short. We don't know when our last day is. And it'd be a shame for us to step into eternity as a defeated Christian, one who is not in that vibrant walk with God. But we need to, because our life is short, seek after God. Live for Him. I wonder this morning, are there hindrances in your life that have driven you away from the Lord? Hindrances in your life. An area of pride, of sin, Or maybe just some other thing in your life that you know isn't pleasing to God. Maybe it's a questionable thing. And you're trying to hold on to it. You're trying to ration it. And God just says, God just wants you to give it up. He wants you to deal with it. Are you willing to deal with the hindrances here this morning? Maybe you have not been fully seeking after the Lord. Maybe you haven't been fully loving God. And there's other things that have robbed your heart. Oh, that's so common today. Our hearts are being stolen away by the things of this world. I wonder this morning, maybe we need to set some of those things aside and fully seek after God. Fully seek after Him. Come, let us return unto the Lord. And as we step into a new year here, a whole year ahead of us, may our church seek after God. May we return unto the Lord in this new year. And for those that have strayed from Him, may we seek after God once again and turn unto Him. And your life can be a wonderful thing, a wonderful Christian life you can experience by seeking after the Lord and knowing God and finding Him. I trust this morning you'll be willing to deal with something that God needs you to deal with in your life. An area in your life, a hindrance, maybe not fully seeking after God. And today you need to make that decision. I'm going to seek after God. I'm going to seek after Him. I'm going to return unto the Lord. And today is that day to turn unto the Lord. And if you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ, don't delay. Don't wait any longer. Today He wants you to turn to Him. Today is the day of salvation. I trust that as a church, as individuals, we would seek after God, that we would return unto the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we've seen a wonderful principle and truth all throughout the Word of God of You seeking and desiring for Your people to come back to Yourself. And Lord, I pray that You would stir our hearts here this morning, that You would stir each person to a greater walk with You, a greater vibrancy, greater fellowship with You. And oh Lord, I pray that our church would be transformed, that You would give us that earnest desire to know You like the Apostle Paul desired, and a knowledge that affects and transforms our life, a knowledge that transforms us in a way that it impacts others, and it's evident to others that we are in a vibrant walk with God. So Lord, I pray that You would do that work in each heart here this morning, with heads bowed and eyes closed. Has God showed you that there's a hindrance in your life? An area of need that must be removed so that you can prepare the pathway back to God. And just simply raising your hand would indicate that here this morning. Is there anybody? All right, see some hands. Thank you very much. What about that aspect of fully seeking after the Lord with your whole heart? I wonder if there's any person here that would recognize in their own heart that they have been half-hearted, that recently they have not been seeking after You with their whole heart. Maybe there's other friends, wrong influences that are sidetracking you, and you're willing to set those things aside and fully seek after God. Is there anybody here this morning? All right, thank you. Lord, I pray that You would begin a work today in our church of reviving Your people and drawing us back to Yourself and giving us a church that has the blessing of God upon it, where souls are being saved, where people are frequently being added to this church. Lord, obviously sin in some way is hindering the blessing of God, and today may we deal with it and allow You to pour Your blessing out upon us here today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.